Let's turn now then to the second letter of Peter, chapter 3. And our text is 8 through 10. We'll read verses 1 through 10. That's on page 1019. Second Peter 3, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is something that you perhaps experienced. You decided to make a large, a substantial purchase. Let's say, a home. And after you've made that decision, you've talked to someone who really questioned you. Are you sure you want to buy that home now? And that throws you. And because you haven't yet signed the deal, let's say the market is not as hot as it is today, you go back to your agent and you say to him, "You know, I'm starting to wonder. I've got some questions I've got to ask you." And the agent, he's a good listener. He listens to everything you have to say. And then he responds and says, "You know, if I listen to you, your main concern is this. And in response to that, let me say this." And in short order, then, he puts your fears right to rest. So that once again, yeah, you're convinced. I am doing the right thing. But then the agent does not just leave it at that. Having started and having stated his main response, and thereby having gotten you again on his side, he then proceeds to list a whole number of other factors as to why you should not worry. And why does he do that? Well, he does that to confirm you in your conviction you are making the right decision. Now, I mention this because that's basically what Peter does in our passage for this morning. His readers, they're having their doubts. Not about a minor matter such as the purchase of a home, relatively speaking. Rather about the major matter of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the clouds of heaven. And Peter, what he does then, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he bolsters their conviction about this very matter. And I think that's good for us to consider in this first service of 2021. and may proclaim God's word then under this theme. Peter continues to comfort his readers regarding the delay of the Lord. We'll see three things. First of all, the delay is not due to time constraints. And secondly, the delay is rooted in the Lord's desire to grant salvation. And finally, this delay in no way implies cancellation. If you turn to the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, you can see there that Peter wrote his letter, these letters, to those who were elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In other words, he writes his letters to believers who, because of their faith, faced exile, hardship, persecution. And as we can only imagine, that meant they really longed for the day of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But at the same time, scoffers had arisen. 2 Peter 3, verse 4, they're scoffing, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were since the beginning of creation." Now for us today, if anything, this scoffing has only increased. It's been now thousands of years. Peter then, he first calls their attention to Scripture, to the Word of God. And he points out that these scoffers, even though they talk about Scripture, they are deliberately forgetting a very key point. Verse 5, they deliberately overlook this fact, and here's the fact then, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. In other words, when God speaks, things happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And therefore, no, the fact that this world continues to go on and on year after year, that's not because, well, that's the way it always has been and that's the way it always will be. No, that's because our God has specifically said, "Let this world continue." And then Peter goes on in verse 7. More than that, says Peter, "By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." And Peter then basically says, beloved readers, there's also something more that you should not forget in this whole matter. Verse 8, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, what does that mean? Some explainers suggest that Peter hereby indicates that this world is going to last 6,000 years before Christ returns. They say that because in the context, Peter is speaking about God's work of creation. And Peter is making the point, since God took 6 days to create this world, and since for God a day is like 1,000 years, well, do the math, God will then take 6,000 years to finish his work of recreation. Which means that we as God's people, we're not halfway there yet. We still have 4,000 years to go. Now, other explainers, they use this passage differently. And they say that this shows that the days of creation, they were not normal days as we know them today. Rather, they were days that lasted thousands of years. You know where this is going. This makes room for the theory of evolution that suggests that this world as we know it today slowly came into existence over thousands, yes, millions of years. Now, perhaps you already caught it, but both of these explanations, they're very different. But they both only listen to half of what Peter says. Because not only does Peter say, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, but also 1,000 years is as one day. So we could just as well take this the other way around, and that we could say that the days of creation, they were only 1/1,000th of a normal day. And besides this, notice how Peter first says, do not forget this one thing. In other words, Peter is not telling his readers something they haven't heard before. Don't forget it, he says. And here Peter alludes to Psalm 90, verse 4. That was our reading. And the author of Psalm 90 is no one other than Moses. And Moses then composed this psalm in that 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. 40 years. They were not easy years. 40 years of tasting in a bitter way the displeasure and the wrath of God against faithlessness. 40 years of all those older than 20 at the time of the rebellion dying. So they were a very somber 40 years. And this comes out also in the tone of Psalm 90, verse 7. For we are brought to an end by your anger, laments Moses. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. And it's in the context of this lament that Moses then makes this remark, for 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Lord, to you, 1,000 years, let alone 40 years, doesn't mean much. Your plans, they still go on. But Lord, not for us. Even just 40 years is already half a lifetime, a generation. And Lord, we only have a limited number of years to do things. And therefore, Lord, you can extend the time of our wandering through the wilderness and your purposes will still be accomplished. But we, Lord, mere human mortal beings, we now miss out on entering the promised land. Moses himself missed out. For us, Lord, the date of entry is now too late. We won't even be alive anymore. Lord, for us mortals, time truly is of the essence. Indeed, for us humans, time is of the essence. That's also the point of Peter. We are restricted. We're tied down by time. Especially in our fast-paced society, time often goes just too fast for us, doesn't it? We can't keep up. We can't get certain projects done. We have to let them go. And of course, in other situations, time goes too slow for us. We take so long to heal after a disease. Strained relationships can take such a long time to mend. We get impatient. We lose hope. We're tied by time. But beloved, with our God, it's entirely different. For our God, time is not of the essence. He is not restricted by time. And think now of creation. The general wisdom today is that because of all the complexity, because of all the detail, and there is tremendous complexity and tremendous detail in this world, because of all that, it's clear millions of years must have been needed. Why? Well, time is of the essence. But our God is not restricted by time. He did it all in a mere 6 days. And so in the same way, just because 2,020 years have gone by since the birth of Jesus Christ, and just because in that time Satan has had all kinds of time to do so much damage to Christ's kingdom, that does not mean that now it's more difficult for our God to fulfill that promise. The scoffers, they see this delay of Christ's return as evidence that Christ cannot and will not return. But Peter says, no, not at all. Just as our God in the days of Gideon did not need all kinds of soldiers to defeat the Midianites, so in the same way, our God is not restricted by time as we are. He says, Peter, beloved readers, do not overlook this, verse 8. And Peter says that because it appears that his readers are starting to lose sight of this. Now think of us today as we step into 2021. Beloved, it's very important that as we step into this year, we recall just how great our God is. He is sovereign even over time constraints. You know, in our time, in this year, it's seen as so very important to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. And of course, that may have its place. But an even greater danger than the coronavirus is forgetting the greatness of our God. To recall that is what is so important. And to inculcate that into our minds, into our hearts, into our worldviews, also our children's hearts and minds and worldviews, that is what is so important. That's the real immunization, you could say, that we all need, that we need booster shots for. And therefore, as we read through the Bible this year, in our family devotions, let's highlight again and again the greatness of our God. It's evident in how He created this world. It's evident in the rescue out of Egypt, in the water coming out of a rock, in the conception of the Virgin Mary, in the raising of Lazarus after being in the grave for 4 days. It's evident in the snow this morning, in the new life that we will look forward to seeing in the spring again. It is so comforting to know how with our God, time is not of the essence. At the same time, this does raise other questions. If the Lord is not restricted by time like we are, then why does He not just come back right now? Have you ever wondered that? Do you know the answer to that question? Peter knew this question would arise. It's clear from what he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And that's our second point. Let's say you need help. If someone does not help you when you're in trouble because he doesn't have the time, that's one thing. But if someone doesn't help you even though he has the time, that's another thing, isn't it? So why is the Lord delaying? Now recall again the situation of Peter's first readers. They faced persecution because of their faith, and that was not minor. And yet, our Savior was not returning to help them and to rescue them. And Peter gets this. He gets how this is troubling. Notice again how he starts with addressing his readers as beloved. Peter is where he puts his arms around them and says, "Beloved, I know your situation, but don't get wrong ideas here. Let me tell you why the Lord is delaying. He's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. No, but he's being patient toward you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, we can easily fall into complaining that we have to endure, that we have to put up with all kinds of things and hardships and burdens until the last day. And Peter's point is, that might be true. But so does our God. You see, we can get a mental picture of God in heaven untouched by what goes down here or what goes on here in this earth. For him, it's no big deal if this world just continues to go round. But beloved, that is not true. Or to put it a different way, it's not easy for our God, holy God, God of justice, God who's passionate for his people. It's not easy for our God to just let this world go round. For just think, he, as a holy God, he created this world with all its complexity, with mankind as the pinnacle of his creation work, to lead this entire creation in praising and glorifying God, living righteously and in a holy way before him. That's what he did. But what's now going on? Well, as we saw in our New Year's Eve sermon, the typical pattern or the typical posture of this world is orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. In this world, the general wisdom, it scoffs. It talks about my identity, who I am. My identity will be determined by me, not by any so-called creator. There is no God. You know, we see that and we hear that, and it bothers us. But beloved, our God on high, he sees and hears all this as well. He sees and hears it day in and day out, night in and night out, to a greater degree than we ever come close to. And it bothers him. It bothers him deeply. His wrath is stirred up. He continually has to hold himself back, as it were. And therefore, it is not as if our God nonchalantly and lazily allows occasions and opportunities to pass by him. Oh, well, I'll have another chance tomorrow again. No, no. But God is patient. Literally, he's long-suffering. He's willing to put up with and suffer with things longer. And I think to word things in this way, it sure throws a new light, a different perspective on the situation, doesn't it? Our God could easily just finish this world off right now, but he doesn't. And why not? Verse 9, he is patient toward you, says Peter to his readers, and therefore the Spirit to us. Literally, he's patient into you. In other words, God is delaying because he has his eye on his people. It's their presence in this world that is holding them back. Now, that then brings another question. Okay, that sounds kind of good. But what benefit is there in delaying? Well, verse 9 again. He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, repentance, what's that? That's the turning away from sin and turning towards God in faith. That's what's needed to escape the judgment of the coming wrath. And just Peter not wishing that any should perish. Now, Peter does not mean this absolutely. That's clear from, for example, 2 Peter 2, verse 3. There Peter speaks of those scoffers who have become hardened sinners, and he puts it this way, in their greed they will exploit you with false words. And he says, their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. God will finish them off. Rather, Peter refers here to those whom God has elected to be saved, among whom are then, of course, Peter's first readers. And then says Peter to his readers, beloved, realize that God delays because he wants to bring more to faith besides us, to rescue from eternal death more than just us. He wants to rescue all his chosen people, all those who have not yet come to faith, not yet even been born. And now just think what God has accomplished by delaying some 2,000 years. Since Peter wrote this letter, many, many, many more have come to faith and repentance. That means also that God delayed back in Peter's day also for our sake today, so that we too could yet be born and could yet come to faith. And what Peter says here is also spoken of by the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11. The writer there first relays how many have suffered greatly at the cause of Christ. And then he says this, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And then the writer gives the reason why they did not yet receive what's promised. Because God had planned something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In other words, that only together with us would they receive the fullness of salvation. Now just think, so that you and I too would come to faith and be part of that innumerable assembly before the throne of the Lamb on the last day that will enjoy the full blessings of God forever, that we would be there too. That's why our God has delayed for so long, even some 2,000 years already. And therefore, let's not be thrown by the 2,000-year delay and wonder if Christ will ever come back. Instead, let's marvel at the patience of our God, particularly for us. He's been willing to put up with so much scoffing and so much mockery, centuries worth of this from all around the world, also because of us, so that we too can have part in his glorious salvation work. Let's not quickly complain, even if we have to suffer. And let's be careful at the same time, something we're prone to do, but let's not think only of ourselves. Let's think also the rest of God's children, including those who perhaps have not even been born yet. And here again we see how these days in which we live, also 2021, are days of real opportunity. Special opportunity to show our love for God in this arena. Opportunity to repent ourselves in the language of the New Year's Eve sermon, to rise up from the sleep, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. An opportunity also then to serve in the hands of the Spirit, to stir up repentance in others. Here we can think especially of our children. You know, as parents, our first goal should not be to have all things set for them to be financially secure, socially secure, academically secure. No, our goal should be to stir up lives of repentance. In the specifics of daily life, of turning away from sin and turning towards God, in their relationships, in their social context, in their driving online, in their work life. We can think also of those straying away. Our God graciously gives us the opportunity to call the straying back to paths of life. Beloved, let's use the opportunities to visit them, to reach out to them, to appeal to them. Same thing with our neighbors and our colleagues living in darkness. Now, while God is holding Himself back, now is the time for reaching out to them, evangelizing, mission work, supporting the Reformational Study Center. And I can also make a comment here about the matter of family planning. Our God is holding Himself back to gather His people in. That should impact our thinking, our outlook with respect to conception and bearing children. Here too, we live in an age of opportunity. Opportunity to bring children of the Lord into this world. Opportunity to contribute to the filling up of the number of the elect. And therefore, our view as to the ideal number of children in our family should be radically different than the view of those who do not belong to Christ, who do not long for His return. There are major components here that won't enter their thinking. And then, having underlined how our day is really one of opportunity, Peter proceeds to make clear that this delay, though providing opportunity that we should capitalize on, it does not in any way imply cancellation. And that's our final point. Peter then adds in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come." And in the original, Peter is very emphatic. Do not let any delay fool you. In fact, the day will come like a thief. In other words, unexpectedly, all of a sudden. And if you think about it, that makes sense. Our God is completely unrestricted by time. He doesn't need all kinds of time to get this world ready for His return. He did not need all kinds of time to create this world either. He did not need millions of years. Suddenly it was there in all its diversity, complexity, beauty, and glory. Says Peter, keep that in mind. And then says Peter, the heavens will pass away with a roar or with the crackling of fire. And so, following the footnote, the elements, and those are things that the scoffers saw as evidence that they will always go on because they saw elements as eternal. Says Peter, they will be burned up and dissolved. You could also translate, they will be loosed with the fire. In other words, life as we know it today, it will completely fall apart. It will be destroyed by fire. You see, fire in Peter's time was considered one of the most basic elements or building blocks on which life was based. Which makes an interesting connection between the flood. Just as the water, another basic building block of life, just as the water destroyed life in the time of the flood, So on the last day, fire will do the same thing. And finally, the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. The image here is one of smelting. Think of a smelting furnace, removing all impurities. The earth, the works of mankind upon this earth will not simply be annihilated. No, they will be cleansed with fire. Every single impurity will be wiped away. Only that which is good will survive. In other words, just as the water of the flood did not annihilate this world God created, but cleansed it, and that in a preliminary way, so the coming fire will not annihilate this world, but will completely cleanse it. And therefore the age of opportunity will come to an end. And therefore, beloved, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. Not next year, but this year is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today is the day to repent. Beloved, let's never put that off, whether young or old. Not tomorrow, but today is the day to reach out to the unrepentant. Not tomorrow, but today is the day for mission work and outreach. Beloved, the scoffers, they scoff. And our sinful natures, they join in with that, don't they? They see no urgency. All things go on as they always have. 2021 just going to be like 2020. But hearing God's word, let's be wise. Let's make the most of the time. Also in 2021, let's get at it, producing those works that will survive and even be purified in the cleansing fire that is coming. Amen.